And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Interfered here and declare your independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, are still in Henniker, New Hampshire. We leave this afternoon to go up to Lancaster, then to Bangor, and hopefully not too long later, the bus will be done. We come back and get it and go, get it and go, get it and go. But we still need to go up to Derek's for some work, and I'll go up there and help with some stuff. Then in the second and third hour, I'll tell you who's coming on today. We got Tim Pachote, the Liberty Advisors. We're going to be talking economy and Federal Reserve and such and what's happening. Because it's happening. Whatever's happening is happening. It's a happening. And then Dr. Judy Mikovits. Ooh, in the third hour, get caught up on that. Then today, we're going to be going to do some hearing city council J thing. We'll talk about tomorrow, this afternoon. And it's, it's like, he's got a neighbor doesn't like whatever, you know. They're doing gun church or something. He's sitting out there in a chair, you know, writing license plates. Yeah, that's that kind of thing. You know, we're just going to go and see how he handles the city. And they have no idea the buzzsaw they create. You know, I'm just going, wow, man, just leave the guy alone, man. But we'll entertain ourselves with that. And then Don and I got, you know, I remember it was an old George Carlin piece, and he goes, you know, talking about your stuff. You got stuff. You know, you got your stuff. You move to a smaller place, you get, you know, a smaller version of your stuff. Then you go on vacation, and you kind of, you know, you take a couple-week vacation, you go in Hawaii. So you take a smaller version of your stuff. Then you're going to pop over to one of the other islands, you know, for a couple of days, a weekend, go visit some friends or something on the islands. Yeah, and you take a smaller version of the smaller version, the smaller version, the small version of your stuff, you know? And that's what we're like. We get in the bus, we get into this RV, we got to drop this RV up, we're just going to take the Jeep to go up to Derek's, and we wait on the bus to come by me. It's getting down to, you know, I got a thong and some shoes, man. I mean, but it's also the radio stuff and everything, but we'll work it out. Because we got some good shows this week, and then they're saying, God, middle of next week to have the bus done. But there's a lot of things that we can do up at Derek's between now and then. And one of those things is a bunch of stencils and signs. So we're going to be working on that and doing some other stuff too. So this is our trip. We're going to go up and see Taryn Lupo up at Rogers Campground, which is Porcupine Freedom Festival where that is, and drop off the RV up there. He has a buyer from Maine. So we're like, okay, we don't want to get in the way of that. So we're going to be homeless. So we got to go somewhere and be productive and help. And now, you know, Derek has totally redone the basement, and he has a nice room there and everything. Everything's all, man, it's nice. Got a bar down there, entertainment room, his computer office, man. It's nice. Ah, bathroom. Got to, you know, finish hooking up a couple of times. I go, you know what? I am motivated to finish your downstairs bathroom. So we'll do that. So we'll help each other out. Now, yesterday was battery day. Tesla, waiting. A lot of people are disappointed. They go, well, they didn't show one freaking whiz-bang new car. Well, it's called battery day, not car day. You know, so that, okay, you know, damn it. And then The main thing, and you can watch the 2 hours of whatever, and I put it up on the site and said start here. It's like an hour and 37 minutes in or something after they got their stockholder crap and, you know, ouch, quit it, and I don't care. And they get into the batteries. Now, the new technology they bought from Maxwell, which is a Maxwell is another big electrical guy. What was his claim to fame? Maxwell, you know, Nikola, Tesla, Maxwell, they always ride the name of somebody that's big in the space. Now, Maxwell was a company that had a process by which instead of having these solvents that you had to dry and you had to recycle the solvent and all that kind of stuff to get the material on the films that then you would roll up in this jelly roll thing, that would be a battery. Well, they came up with a process by which you take the actual mixture of, you know, rare earth metals, the carbon, the nickel, the silicon, the whatever the heck you're going to use, cobalt, and you put it in a powder, and it's pressed onto it. Now, what Elon's big on is not building the machine. It's building the machine that builds the machine. So his whole thing is automation, speed, robotics, continuous flow, turn it on, and, you know, raw material comes in this end, and the finished part comes out that end. You know, that's his thing. Well, he's applying that to battery technology. To do that, you have this big, giant footprint that the factory takes up with all of this battery production. And if we can take and get better batteries, faster, more powerful batteries, more energy dense, cheaper, we get them much more quickly, where you have a 10% of the footprint of a factory and a fraction of what it would cost in capital expenditure to get all this stuff there and everything, get making it, and you can produce 10 times more, well, that's like a win. Doesn't even matter if the battery is, you know, better. Is that you can make it a much faster and cheaper. Well, then you can increase the density with a little bit redesign of how the battery works. We're going to, instead of having on, say you have a battery standing up in front of you, you know, a D cell or something, and you got the positive on the top and the negative on the bottom. When they're talking tabless, there's a tab in this jelly roll. You'll have one little tab that comes up, and the electrons have to go all the way across. If you got it all rolled out, it could be, 20, 30 feet, out one direction, and the other direction, well, you're probably like 15 each way or something. But all the electrons have to go through that roll to one tab. Well, they made it to where they take the foil, and they have it just a little bit long, like you're rolling a roll of toilet paper up, and it's off just a little bit. It's got, a little extra when you roll up anything. Say you have an aluminum foil roll, and you're rolling, and it's kind of getting off-center, and it gets up towards the end. Well, they just fold that over. They go, we're going to have a little extra, and then we, cut it in a certain way, make it and automated, but basically it's just extra that they fold over on the end. Now the whole top, is the electrons can come out anywhere on that roll, instead of having to go one particular path, which would also wears out the battery and short circuits it and all this other stuff. So they go, we're going to have a tabless battery. Well, it's one big giant tab is what it is. The whole end is kind of sticking out. And then I don't know if they do the same on the other side. The negative, because electrons go in one way. But anyway, so you have this battery now that doesn't get as hot, so you can make them larger as opposed to smaller, so you got a bunch of cooling elements going in between the batteries. Well, if you got this big one that the electron doesn't have to pass so far to get to that one tab to get out, well, then it's more efficient. It uses a lot less heat, and you lose less efficiency in the chemistry and the battery, and all of a sudden you got better there, and you hadn't even changed anything other than the design of it. Then they went in to like five things that they did to get 56% more energy out. And I'm going, okay, per kilogram. Now you're in the engine batteries for airplanes. We'll talk about this. This is interesting. I spent some extra time paying attention on this. I'll share when we come back.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
All right, some of the guys in the Telegram are looking for the PDFs, the stencils, and so on. Donna put it back up on near the top of Freeman's Phoenix there. Did you put it in the Telegram, too? It's all good. All right, there it is. Now, and you can make more. I mean, you just put stuff up to have stuff up to show you to do stuff. So some of them more popular than others. Freeman's answer once the question seems to be, you know, yeah, it is a powerful statement. I'm digging it, but I, you know, said it so much it kind of lose its impact. But I tell you, it's a powerful statement. I mean, you know, yeah, whatever. It started in 03 when I was doing radio. I'd go, they call in and they go, they're gonna challenge me on something. I said, you know, just to be fair, I'm gonna let you go. You say your thing. I'm gonna say freedom's the answer. So you know, whatever the question is. Because it was always seemed like, you know, I'm going, you need more freedom. Well, they don't do this, and they have that, and too much. I go, sounds to me like you need a little more freedom in that, you know. So it's always the answer. In fact, that's what America, the shiny line on the hill, has been, is that, man, you're free to fix it, whatever it is. Well, one of the things is battery tech. Well, the battery tech challenges the energy industry. They aren't digging it, you know, and this is getting to where, you know, you have 100 of these factories and all of a sudden the entire planet is electrified, and he's already on 3 or 4. I mean, you know, okay, well, it's just going to trigger it for somebody else. There's going to be some Malaysian, India, Russian, Chinese, South Korean, Taiwan, China factory, a company, or something that's going to, you know, rival him, and he's going to go, oh, darn, I got competition. You know, this is big, because when you get to about, it's 400 watts per kilogram of weight. When you got a battery that weighs, you know, 2.5 pounds, and you get over 400 watts out of it, you know, or watt hours, you get 400 watt hours out of it, watts in an hour. That means, you know, it's not that much. It's like 4 100-watt light bulbs light for an hour, you know, and 2.5 pounds, and it'll give you a range of fill in the blank. You know, you do that, all of a sudden you're starting to equal what you need for an airplane to be electric. You know, maybe electric jet. Because all it is, you know, is spinning a turbine. You know, the fuel, the gas is just a, you know, the jet fuel is just to spin a turbine. And it spins that turbine and compresses more, you know, sucks in more air and, you know, thrusts out the back under pressure after ignition, blah, 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 blah. So I'm going, and then you got turboprops. Well, turboprops, kind of a jet engine with a propeller on it. So it's, we're getting there. So the thing is the chemistry and the manufacturing mechanism for making it. Because the batteries, one of the problems is when you charge and discharge, especially when you're using silicon, it expands like 3 or 4 times. You know, its size, it'll swell. This is why you get like swollen batteries or something, you know, something happened and whatever. So you have this swelling, you know, out and in, out and in, out and in. It puts a lot of stress on it, starts cracks, you start having shorts, you know, it's a problem, it doesn't last forever. If you can get the, if they go to the silicon part and you have it expanding and contracting, what if you had in some kind of a polymer, you know, a kind of a liquid state, or you have it more flexible, or you didn't have to, you know, I mean, all these things play into this. And they did a really good job. A lot of people thought it was too technical. They're going, it didn't get sexy, and the stock didn't shoot up, and, you know, they didn't show, like, you know, Tesla at least had fluorescent bulbs that he'd go around and have a good light show. You know, I mean, what are you doing here? What they were describing is how much smaller a footprint and how much less in capital cost to build the battery-making part of a car factory. or just a, you know, battery factory. So they're going, we don't have to have all this other stuff, and we can go to a bigger cell. It's a lot more efficient and cheaper to make. They last longer. The chemistry doesn't have that they're starting to go bad after a certain amount of time. They, you know, on and on. One thing they didn't talk about, I was kind of disappointed, I was looking forward to, were capacitors. Now, this battery, I guess it could act more like a capacitor when you have the tabless, or the whole top is a tab, so that, you know, you get fast charging even when you're doing regenerative braking. That's one of the big advantages of a capacitor. It's kind of like a static charge, static electricity. I mean, it just takes it all right away, and then you can have it when you accelerate coming out. I still think there's going to be a capacitor thing. But their big deal was, like, let me tell you what's a big deal, and why Elon was making a big deal as a big deal. It is much cheaper to set up a production line. It takes up a lot less space, and it can make a crap load more of batteries. So what they would have to do to build 100, they only need to be maybe 15 factories. See my point? So he's going, the capital outlay for us to be able to produce the kind of batteries that we need, here we go. And everybody was kind of going on about using your car as a battery for your house to go into the grid and all that kind of stuff. And he's going, yeah, not so much. The Roadster, we had that capability, our first car, you know, over a decade ago, and nobody used it. You know, I'm sure it'd be a lot easier now, and maybe they'll something. But he's going, nah, you need to get the Tesla wall, especially with these new batteries, because you get a lot more density. They're cheaper. It's going to be a lot cheaper to electrify your home. And it'll store a lot more power. Then you got more efficient solar panels that they're doing as a shingle, blah, 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 blah. So this is a bigger deal than I think the market really sees. This is how they're going to do it. Oh, we're going to do it. Oh, everybody wants to do it. Let's do it. Yeah? How? How are you going to do it? And what Elon always does is goes to first principles. Okay? Where do I get the supply? They're going, you know, we could even make it, instead of it being, you know, it's iron, nickel, cobalt, or the different elements and different versions that you can do, and you can focus on any one of them. In fact, there's iron flow batteries that you take a storage container, a sea container, you know, shipping container, and you just put a bunch of PVC and tanks in there and flow, and it's just, you know, it'll power a small neighborhood, you know, but it's not very compact, but it is, its waste is just, you know, rust water. You know, put it on this tree, and it likes it. I mean, you know, it's that there's no waste, really. There's no toxic waste, and it works well. But it takes up a lot of space. You're not putting it in a car or a spaceship, you know. But it can do, so there's a lot of different technologies that are coming on. And a lot of it is just how dense can it be. And a lot of, we're home, what do you care? You know, but how cheap is it? How fast can you make them? How much do they cost? Now, they're going to lithium iron phosphate, a lot of this stuff, which is what our Battle Borns on the bus is. You know, these are, they're kick-ass batteries. These things are cool. I got a notice from Bob, you know, saying, oh, you want to be careful. Don't get too cold. You know, they don't like being cold. And it's going to start getting cold up here. That sucks. But we'll talk a little bit. I'll finish up on the battery thing. But there's some other stuff I want to talk to you about before we get the temperature in the first. In this first hour, I want to talk to you about when we come back in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Okay, last couple of days you've seen up there, I'm kind of being solid here. Donna, put that flip story in the first hour, the bug assault. I mean, come on. This time of year it starts to kind of cool off a little bit, and then the flies all want to be inside thing. And it just sometimes it fly, ooh, just, you know, distract, piss me off. They wouldn't bother me, whatever. So they have this one pump air gun, like a Nerf gun. But you load it with salt. So it's got a little laser on it, and I don't know, it's probably got a 3-4 foot range on it or something. You just aim it at it, you get the lead, and boom! dead fly. I'm so getting that. And I'll let you guys know how it works. Because what I do every year, I'll get some cool thing for the family. You know, me and grandma get, you know, the kids whatever and the grandkids whatever, and they get, but, you know, it's always something cool from grandpa, you know. It's like for the family, something cool. I mean, you know, the backpack food thing, you know, little toys, something. I mean, you know, something kind of cool for that. This is cool, especially if it works. I want to try it, and if it works, boom, everybody's getting bug assault. Damn, fly brush. Oh, see, cut. Top of the food chain, intelligence, big brain box. I freaking win. Nen. Anyway, so that's what we're doing now. The on the battery thing, I wanted to, you know, make sure that you, the audience, understood how big a deal this is. It's always been how fast can you charge it, how much does it weigh, how long, how much energy density does it have, how long does it last, you know, yada yada yada. Well. With the chemistry, what they've been looking at this from a fundamental standpoint. Okay, why is, you know, the crystalline structure of, you know, and over time, and the how many chargings you get, and yada 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 yada, to the point that you're building cars to the batteries, you know, and or the capabilities to them. Like, oh, now we got planes. So the future is going to be very interesting. But keep in mind, it'll take a year, 2 years, where it used to take, you know, 5 years or something to build the factory. Heck, you know, 6 months, they're done. You know, Elon Musk, they have an internal contractors. You know, Tesla has its own building company. You know, he's going, yep, I'm in charge of the, you know, building the factory. Some young engineer guy gets up and says, I'm like, wow, man, we're bypassing the crap. We just skip to the end. Who knows how to do that? Go. Get her done. So it's manufacturing. And that's one thing that he keeps going on about. Elon's saying, you know, it's not the thing. It's the thing that builds the thing. He goes, I can't believe that we're not focusing more on manufacturing. And that's why when you take the kids and you open up a VCR and you see, well, there's a lot of open space here. And there's just like a, and this thing only costs $45. And it's got 15 gazillion little computer chips of a board of blah, 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 blah. How the hell are they even able to do that? You know, it's just automation. The raw material gets turned into whatever, and you get a robot assembly line, and it puts it together, and now I got a cool gizmo gadget that and it didn't cost that much. Our standard of living goes up. Now, if you destroy the environment while you're doing it, your standard of living doesn't go up that for very long. So, you know, you want to be responsible, not be a jerk about it. And that's where freedom comes in. I'm free to do whatever as long as I'm not bothering somebody else. And then I have access to, you know, the resources of the court and everything to go, hey, man, this guy damaged me. Well, when you got the government protecting and, you know, doing the bidding of the company that's damaging you without repercussions or liability, you know, then, but if you got people just suing all the time, you know, like impeaching Trump all the time, you know, you can't get anything done. So there has to be some, you know, responsibility on the other side. I mean, this is the society that we live in. One of the things that's interesting on the site today is ABC has now, oh, yeah, real quick, I wanted to, Skeleton and Kit promise graphene super battery with 15-second charging. Now, this is what I was doing with you know, the nanotube battery. This is the point that I was doing. With the surface area they have, it rapidly charged and it discharged. You know, it didn't, like, blow up or spark out or short or something. You know, it maintained a charge as you used it, you know, on the laptop at a firewire and, you know, a heat sink that, you know, gauged it. So I could see what it was doing. And I'm going, this is cool. And, you know, this can be done. I don't want to do it, but, you know, I want to buy it. But, you know, once I prove to myself it can be done, I'm going, all right, I'm good. Here we go. I can see the future. See it, felt it, touched it, licked it. Man, I'm all over it. All right? So now we have the ultra-capacitor super batteries kind of thing that's coming online. That hadn't even been. Supercapacitors and ultra-capacitors store charge statically instead of in a chemical form, so they offer enormous power density, charging and discharging at vastly higher rates. It lasts for hundreds of thousands of cycles. Excuse me. Hundreds of thousands of cycles without degrading. The flip side here is that their energy density is terrible compared to lithium. To hold the same amount of energy, you need a battery pack many times bigger than a comparable lithium pack. So it's weight, and it takes up a lot of volume, but it gets a charge really fast, and it holds it, and it can discharge it. What's that good for? Regenerative braking. You hit the brakes, boom, it charges that up. You need it, you push the accelerator, boom. You've got energy comes out of the capacitor, you know, start and stop, and you don't lose a lot of that energy. So I'm thinking ultracapacitors are going to have a part to play in this Roadster and in a lot of things, you know, but they need to get that battery thing taken. Okay, so just to let you know that's up. Now, the one thing that, a story that I found of interest, it's never the lamestream media, the media so last century, they never report anything until everybody already knows or affected about it, so they don't report the news, they spin the olds. So here comes the spin. Oh, it's a spin. This QAnon thing, man. They're, you know, the QAnon thing. There's the bad people of the QAnon thing. So this is ABC News, so you can kind of expect that. The men behind QAnon. And I find that offensive. Men? How do you know it's men, you know? So they just assume it's guys. I mean, it probably is. I mean, it just seems like, you know, woke media wouldn't say that unless they're just wanting to piss somebody off. Because a lot of this, it seems like that title is intentional, because a lot of the commentary, the YouTube channels and everything are women. There's a lot of women behind this. And I kind of got the impression that they would say that to try and either anger, dissuade, discourage the women in the QAnon thing. Because it's a lot of women. You know, I'm wondering if they did that on purpose. You would think that ABC would not do that. You know what I mean? It just seems nothing's without a reason. It's just seriously. So let's see. They talk about how many people have been, you know, elected or won their party nominations going into the election because they say they, you know, support this or that, and they keep trying to pin Trump down. Do you know about the? Yeah, I've heard of them. They go, oh, I hear they're good Americans. You know, it seems to me that they, you know, are want to save America, and they want me to help save America, all America. They go, yeah, well, you know, what about them? He goes, I don't know. I mean, it seemed like, I don't know how much about the movement other than I understand they like me very much. This is Trump, which I appreciate. He said, adding, I've heard these are people that love their country. A reporter pressed him about this belief that you are secretly saving the world from the satanic cult of pedophiles and cannibals. Does that sound like something you are behind or a believer in? Well, I haven't heard that, Trump replied, but is that supposed to be a bad thing or a good thing? I mean, you know, if I can help save the world from problems, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to put myself out there. These guys are so stupid. They go, you don't believe that, you know, these people want you to save them from pedophiles and elite scumbag pieces of crap, do you? You know? Oh. Yeah. Inner freaking tainment. We'll be right back.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
And exposing the lies. Is that what they and those want to do? Is that what they want to do? I don't think so. You know, one of the things that they put in this Q article, they go, you know, they press them on that. And then here's the punchline, ABC News. In its broadest outlines, the QAnon conspiracy theory rests on the baseless belief that Trump is secretly battling a global network of billionaire pedophiles, devil-worshipping Democrats, and baby-eating Hollywood stars and their deep state counterparts embedded in the U.S. federal government's sprawling bureaucracy. it goes on, but I mean, yeah, in its broadest outlines, you know, the baseless belief, baseless, you know, I'm, you know, that's enough of that, but that's, it just, it is to be entertained. So I'm, but manifest, all this crap manifest in your compliance, whatever, in a lot of ways. And now we see the coaches, NFL coaches, are being fined for violating mask policy on the sidelines in an empty stadium while they're playing football in the NFL, okay? The three teams being fined are Seattle Seahawks, Denver Broncos, and San Francisco 49ers. On national television, they're not complying! You must comply. The three head coaches of the teams, the Seahawks, Pete Carroll, the Broncos, Vic Fangio, and the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan, were also each fined $100,000. Yep. The NFL's Executive Vice President of Football Operations, Troy Vincent, sent a memo to all 32 of the league's teams a week ago calling on coaching employees to wear their masks at all times, CNN reported. Vincent warned in the memo that failure to follow the public health guidelines would result in sanctions. Now, this is after the CDC came out and said something different. Okay, yeah, it's not a big deal. Okay, whoa, whoever did that is fired, and we, you know, we're changing. We would never, and now you have to again, and they keep changing. So this has got to wear thin someday, you know, and they're just pushing into bankruptcy everything. This is, you know, people are just, oh, but they won't give up their football. Yeah? Watch. And they are. So this, and you have to wear, you know, are they wearing masks on golf courses now? That was one thing. I went golfing when I was back a few weeks ago in Arizona, my son-in-law and his father, and we go golfing a few times. And you had to wear it going into the clubhouse to pay. Hey, you got to pay. Yeah, well, you can go pay for me, whatever. You know, you had to go pay. And then when you get out on the golf course, you didn't have to wear it. And I'm going, when will they? Nope, you got to wear it. Oh, but they did have in the hole, you know, like a, God, what do you call those? The noodles, you know, the floaties, you know, those little styrene, whatever the heck they are, the pool noodles that you don't go on. What they did is they cut it to the size of the hole in on the green, and they put it down and left so you didn't reach down into the bottom or remove the flag to get your ball out. It would only drop, you know, about 2 inches into it, so you could just pick your ball with your fingers really easy without taking the flag out. So we played golf. Normally, when you're on the green, you pull the flag out, you know, so you don't get assistance from it hitting the pole or something, whatever. You take the flag out. Well, that's new rule in under pandemic of golf. You don't remove the flag. It just stays there. And it's got this little, you know, pool noodle down there so the ball doesn't fall down lower. And you got a couple inches, you know, it'll fall in and boom. Well, a couple of times you do and you got a kind of a fast ball, it drop in the hole in the side there and bounce out. Do you count that? You know, we're like, oh, this is not good. This is not going to get a hole in one on the fly and boom, and it bounces out. So, it's just ridiculous. And when's all the ridiculousness going to stop? The day after the election, the day after, the 2 weeks after the election, when they decide who won the mail-in of whatever the heck. You know, this is, man, we're in a civil war right now for who, it doesn't matter who votes, it's who counts the votes kind of thing. Yep. I'm not digging this. This is it might be fun to watch on the sidelines and, you know, key the Titanic as it sinks beneath the waves, but, you know, a sinking Titanic is not going to. Oh, and what we find out from G. Edward Griffin, he goes, it wasn't even the Titanic. It was the Olympic. You know, there was a Titanic in the Olympic. The Olympic was done first. It got tweaked. It hit something in the harbor. It banged into whatever and kind of tweaked the hull a little bit, and they couldn't get insurance on it. So they took and made the Titanic the Olympic and made the Olympic the Titanic and said this was Titanic so that it could get past, you know, it's already past inspection or it got new, whatever. It's so that they, you know, could insurance fraud. And they were planning on sinking it or whatever anyway, get it out there and we'll something. So then J.P. Morgan, that was the money behind it, all of a sudden he cancels at the last minute. And, you know, they thought they were just going to, you know, have a rescue boat out there. But then they hit the iceberg, yada, 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 yada. But what supports that theory? In the records, they had this woman that's a speaker at Red Pill. She's going to go over this. But in the records, they saw that they took the serial number of the propeller that was on the Titanic in dry dock off and put it on the Olympic. And then the Olympic is the one it had that propeller that's at the bottom of the ocean. So you're going to see, we have records that they did it, that they changed it. That one is there, and that's what's down there. So it's the Olympics down there. Now we know. Got a record. Let's make a movie about it. You know, this is a, there is that, that was their 9/11. 9/11, 9/11, 9/11. So they didn't get a U-boat to do it. It was an iceberg. It was global cooling. Yeah, that's what it was. Global cooling took down the Olympic that they said was a tight time. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It just never stops. It's always something, you know? Ugh. Then we had Jerry Griffin on in the last, yeah, Friday. Had him on. We're going to be doing some more with G. Edward. You know, this is a, there's a time and place for doing some stuff, and we've been talking for over the years, and I think, yeah, there's going to be something. We're going to talk about it here over the next month or so. We're working on some stuff with some of the guys, and we can be some buttleheads. But he was on Alex Jones and just, you know, giving some of his history, which I got to spend some time with him in Nevada last August, you know, over a year ago. And it was interesting to get his history, what motivated him and how he got in this fight. It's not rare. It's not often. It's very rare you find people like that, that, you know, came at it from just a sense of, damn, you know, well, somebody's got to do this. Nobody's doing it. Like, okay, I guess I got to do it. And I mean, from being a lowly, you know, a little nothing like me, I've, nobody's doing this. I mean, these guys are getting away with literal murder. And the name of, and my, I don't even have grandkids yet at the time, and their future is done. I can see what you sons of, heck no. So that's what motivates a lot of people. You know, a sense of, you have to. You know, who else? Somebody's got to do it. You know, and they're not, and you start trying to find somebody or somebody. And when you do, you help them, and what I find out, it's you. It's just people. You know, kind of what we're doing with Jay today. You know, go to the court and see what's up. You know, this person gets. There was Rochelle, there was the families that went to the park and citing them for $1 gazillion for going to the park with their kids. You're not doing it right. So I'm just, wow. Now we see up there Josh Segerson from World Alternative Media is spending time in Arizona. He went to Jerome, Arizona, which is, you know, up on a cliff, a kind of a mountain area that was a mining. You know, it's silver and gold and whatever, a lot of silver, I think. And Jerome, Arizona, after lockdown, strict rules in the Wild West town because they went all liberal. They just said, yeah, we take over this ghost town, it could be ours. What grants can we get? Seriously, you know, in debt to them, we're gone. Oh. All right, we're going to talk about Tim Choate, Liberty Advisor, when we come back. And then Dr. Judy Mikovits in the third hour, get updated with that. And go to freedomsphoenix.com and just see the stories today. I mean, damn. Not a drill. YouTube may be shutting down my channels with new restrictions. Yeah. Timcast. Tim Pool, they don't like him. And right before the election, they take Tim Pool down. Yeah, that'd be interesting. It's happening everywhere. I'm telling you. Be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Here to declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock. We got on Tim Pichot, the Liberty Advisor. Tim is founder of Crypto Self Direct and Wealth Advisor with Innovative Advisory Group. Mr. Pichot is a trailblazer in the field of crypto wealth management strategies. Tim understands the challenges Bitcoin early adopters face as they struggle to get their substantial cryptocurrency gains from the virtual world to the rest of the world without getting killed by taxes. That's one of the main things that he was working on. But crypto is going to play what role in this, whatever the hell is going on? You know, and explain that, Tim. You know, what is it that we're experiencing? What's happening? We're going to have what? What, you know, we so worry about the coronavirus and the lockdowns and all this other stuff. What are we going into? Where should the money go?
Oh, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Ernie. It sounds like even mainstream and even the government is starting to realize that the debt is unsustainable, which obviously everybody listening to this right now has known that since probably before I've even been alive. But it seems like now even the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, and other, you know, other people out there are actually now saying, oh, hey, look, this debt can never be repaid, and we're on a path of complete unsustainability. And I'm not arguing, I guess, everybody except for the Democrats and Republicans and Congress. It seems like they have no idea what's going on in regards to that. But, you know, to me, crypto and Bitcoin is a hedge against when central banks ultimately lose control. And, I mean, they shouldn't even be there. So, I mean, whether I want them to lose control or not is irrelevant, because eventually they're going to lose control of the interest rates. And, you know, I'm not sure if we even talked about this on your show yet. I don't think so. But now the Federal Reserve has implemented an average strategy where instead of targeting 2% inflation, they're going to target 2% over, I believe it's like an unspecified amount of years. Like I don't think they even said, hey, it's over 10 years or 15 years or 20 years. It just says we're going to target, you know, a 2% average. So, you know, if we've been at, you know, 0 or 0.5 or 1, now they're saying, oh, well, you know, we could withstand a couple of years at 5 or a couple of years at 10, because then over the long run, it gets us back to 2. And what they're really trying to do is make the, you know, the pain of all the debt that we have less painful. And a reporter actually asked Powell why it's important to eventually get inflation. And he said, so that way we can raise rates. And they're like, well, why do you want to raise rates? And he's like, well, so then that way when, you know, the economy falters in the future, so we can cut them. So they only want inflation, so then that way the rates go up, so then that way they have room to then bring the rates back down. So ultimately, they're never going to be raising rates. I mean, and I think even recently, I forgot who it was, either Morgan Stanley or J.P. Morgan. John and I covered this. We've been doing a lot of Tim and John shows recently. And also highly recommend people check out the one we did with G. Edward Griffin. We got into all sorts of stuff that people want to talk about in terms of, you know, did Trump nationalize the Fed? You know, what's his take on QAnon? All sorts of goodies. So definitely, and actually, you know, watch it on, if you watch it on Library, it's actually going to be a better audio version than the YouTube one, just because of, I did the YouTube one live, and anyways, it came out better in post-production on that. But, yeah, when it comes to the Federal Reserve, they're just, you know, they're under the pretense that, you know, they can start raising rates whenever they want to. And, oh, yeah, I was talking about J.P. Morgan, what they're mentioning. And they're saying, oh, well, because the Fed was able to complete a hiking cycle during the last financial crisis, that we feel very confident in the Fed's ability that they have everything under control. And I'm like completed what hiking cycle? I mean, you raised the rates a few times. because Trump was touting how great things were, that basically, you know, they ran out of excuses not to keep the rates steady anymore, and you raised them a few times, and all hell broke loose. I mean, people forget that a year ago, the repo, I know you didn't forget, but the repo markets were breaking down, and you had, you know, like one, it went from, you know, being overnight to 2 days to, you know, a week to 3 months to some of them, I think, were out for like a year. And, you know, it got to the point where they were doing like $1 trillion a day in the overnight markets. And that's, you know, that's all stuff that people can go back on the podcast from a year ago and, you know, listen to what was breaking down. But that's, I think this whole pandemic was really just a cover for all the stuff that was going on in the financial markets that were already going to blow up. The corporate bond market was already going to blow up. And now the Fed actually owns a third of all the mortgages. So, I mean, that's not a lot of people are really aware. And obviously, you know, this audience is not the average, you know, audience. So, you know, a lot of you guys are probably aware of this. But the Fed owns a third of all the mortgages now. You know, they own trillions of dollars of corporate bond debt. And no one's talking about this. Nobody cares. And it's all, you know, and to me, I think a lot of the QAnon people and the diehard Trump people, you know, are willing to look the other way because there's always some grand plan that, you know, just any day now, all the pedophiles are going to be rounded up and Hillary's going to be in jail and the Federal Reserve is going to be taken over. And the most important part is that you just shut up and criticize anybody like me who's trying to point out these problems, or people like you or a lot of the audience, except for Dr. Frank. You know, a lot of people are just, I think if anything, the QAnon movement is probably one of the second greatest psyops. I mean, the first one being the pandemic, but with QAnon, and actually, you know, basically the cliff notes of Jerry Griffin's response is that he, you know, was in complete agreement with this. I didn't tell him my stance on it, but he was even going back to that there was a movement during his day, and they even called it Nasara, because there's this whole like debt reset plan, Nasara, Jasara, and people are talking to me about this all the time, and I constantly think it's BS, and it's just really frustrating that constantly, you know, that the biggest people I'm fighting against constantly are people within that should be allies in this, but now it's, oh, well, you know, you don't know what you're talking about with the Fed, because Trump actually nationalized the Fed, and he's, you know, there's going to be this great debt reset, and there's going to be a new cryptocurrency called Ripple, and then Ripple is going to, you know, be the new world currency. And so not only, so I'm like, and it's just so frustrating, you know, because I really think it's setting people back, and I know I've gone on, and I've probably given you
No, go, man. I'll stop you when you're boring.
Okay, like, man, this might be the new record for most time a guest has been able to talk on your show. I just woke up too. But yeah, I mean, we're at the point now where things are so bad that I just can't believe that. I don't know what it's really going to take, and I think ultimately it's going to take when the pensions blow up. You know, chiefly amongst it being, you know, the Chicago pension, Illinois. I mean, that's probably going to be the one that like triggers everything, because then under an emergency, I'm sure, you know, President Biden is then going to be able to, you know, convince Jerome Powell or whatever other lackey he has in there at the time to then, you know, because of some crisis that they're, even though these pensions were screwed to begin with, they're going to then come in and have the Fed, you know, basically buy up all the pension debts and then make everybody whole on that. I mean, that's, and then who knows, it might, you know, trickle in all the reparations and everything else. And then, you know, wouldn't that be great? I mean, wouldn't that be funny that, you know, we give out, you know, $5 trillion or $10 trillion of reparations, and then that might be the thing that then devalues everything, and now everybody gets a very quick lesson in economics.
We're gonna get more lesson in economics when we come back. That's what saved you, man. You know, saved us from the Tim Pichot rant is the break, but we got plenty to talk with Tim about. I got lots of questions and things to clear up and get certified on when we come back. Be right there.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And the Liberty Advisor with Tim Pichot. You know, one of the stories that's up there is that Amazon
has one of the guys from the intelligence community leaving the United States government and going over to Amazon. Well, then they have a big controversy over Peloton is a couple thousand dollar stationary bike of it yells at you and go faster, chubby, and whatever it does. And there's a competition that was on Amazon, a $500 version of we did it cheaper and China knock off of Taiwan of something. And they make a big deal out of this, and the name of that bike is Echelon. Echelon was a surveillance program in the 90s to where they were surveilling email and stuff. It's a long story, but it's I'm going, you know, for them to have this bike that they're involved in or they're not, and then to have a surveillance guy to have a bike in your face staring at you, watching you exercise as your biometrics go into the grid of the computer. It's, you know, nothing's funny anymore. I mean, it's to go, wow, but I'm is there some links in there somewhere, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, it's just now I woke up like right before this. So I didn't have time to fully dive into it, but apparently Amazon itself is saying it's not now involved with the Echelon Peloton killer bike, but who knows. But anyways, I thought it was if that wasn't the case, I was like, man, it's pretty brazen, especially given the fact that what a week or two ago you had General Keith Alexander, former NSA head, is now on the board of Amazon. And then they named their bike Echelon, which, you know, that was the program that sort of, I almost call it, like, legalized the Five Eyes global spying ring with Australia, Canada, New Zealand, United Kingdom, obviously America, where, you know, all the big, you know, NSA intelligence agencies that they have are all allowed to spy on other people's citizens. And so what is probably going on is there's probably some sort of parallel construction where the NSA is spying. They know exactly what an American citizen is doing, but they're not allowed to go get that information. So they'll say to, you know, the system over in UK and say, hey, you know, we need you to go check out Bob Smith on this day doing this and grabbing the info. So then that way it's somehow, you know, we're not in a video over here, but I would use, you know, air quotes saying, you know, legal. And so it's just, and then the fact that, you know, now this thing is in your home, connected to everything you're doing, and it's called Echelon. I was like, man, how fitting. And it obviously, that's over probably like 99.9% of people's heads besides, you know, your listeners. But, you know, most people, if you just said Echelon, they'd have no idea, you know, what that
actually
refers
to. Yeah, no, it's just
in
your face. They just like, and it's like they sit around laughing, you know, or something. It's just weird. And then to have ABC come out and go, oh, you're not one of those crazy, you know, people that think we're ruled by pedophiles and sex traffickers, are ya? You know, I'm going, wow, that you would even say that. You know, there's something weird going on. And the one thing I wanted to make sure we covered, the dump in crypto gold and silver. What's up with that?
Well, I mean, they all are, you know, relatively small markets. And the other thing is, you know, there is, you know, a big correlation between, you know, people probably don't want to hear this, but between the stock market and Bitcoin. So, you know, if people just lost a bunch of money in the stock market, and this is setting up for one of the worst Septembers ever. And September actually is historically, I believe, the worst month. It actually has a negative year, like on average, in the month of, because every other month in on average, the stock market goes up, like over the course of, you know, since, you know, 1920s or 1890. But September actually is, I think, is negative 0.5 or like negative 0.8 on average. And so now we're down closer to like 7 or 8% right now for the month, because we started the month off. And this even includes 2008. And so they call it the September effect. And so, you know, in September, I mean, the stock market's down close to 8%. And, you know, and what we saw, you know, when people panic, they sell out of what they deem to be riskier assets and they move into cash. And, you know, and maybe it's some profit taking with people in gold and silver. But, you know, I think the important part is you take a look at where the, you know, resistance is, you know, with gold. And, you know, it's pretty much, you know, in the grand scheme of things, right about where the old all-time high was. So, I mean, I think it's a long-term, not to sound too much like Peter Schiff, but, you know, it's a long-term bullish sign if the new resistance is the old high. And so, you know, I'm not really concerned about, you know, like the day-to-day movements in these. I think if people are buying them, they should be dollar cost averaging anyways. Another thing I'm looking at is if you take a look at the, you can just, search engine, crypto fear and greed index. And I'm not looking at it right now, but it's probably like a 47 or 45 on the scale of 0 to 100, with 100 being absolute greed and 0 being extreme fear. And so, the fact that we're above 10,000 and have been holding there for a long time on Bitcoin, and, we're, relatively speaking, it's a sort of a calm, neutral, because in the past, when we've been above 10,000, it's been more of the extreme greed or greed. And now it's getting more into, complacency of, yeah, that's just where Bitcoin is. Not to say, obviously I don't have a crystal ball and don't know where it's going.
Well, I'm looking at, Bitcoin Cash, when it gets down to 200, it's 216. I'm like, damn, man, I want to buy me a bunch. And silver, I was like, anything under $20, as much as I had, I was just buying me silver. I mean, $100 here, $500 there, because I know it's going to be, I'm just doubling my money, sooner or later. But the but when you look at these stock prices and everything, that's in dollars. It's not adjusted for inflation. I'm not really feeling that the economy is making these biggest strides. It's just inflationary. It's 10,000 of, 2020 dollars. I mean, that even the same thing as before 9/11. 20 years ago, if you were above 6,000-8,000 on the stock, well, woohoo, rock and roll. But does that take into account? Does there somebody have a chart when they look at the value of the dollar, purchasing power itself?
I mean, I'm sure there's people that have made those charts. I mean, certainly with, Bitcoin being so, in the grand scheme of things, new, I don't really think it's long enough to have all those correlations out. But, things like gold, notwithstanding the, having oil being traded negative in April, but, there's always been constants that, a barrel of oil costs, X amount of ounces of gold, or, a nice rifle or a nice suit. There are certain correlations to all that. And, a lot of that has held up for a very long time. And then another thing when it comes to these indexes, like I know we were talking about the stock market before, and this is a point we've brought up before. So, I mean, you take a look at something like the Dow Jones Industrial Average. They just kicked off, what was it? Josh and I did a video on this, but they kicked off, Exxon recently. And so there's hardly even any industrial stocks even in there. And, it's even completely different than, in 2008 versus today. It's different 5 years ago versus today. And so when you take a look at, the stock market's at, whatever it is, like 27,000 on the Dow, well, compared to what? I mean, it's completely different makeup. It's like you're comparing apples to oranges, and they're always, kicking off some of the stocks at that point that are kind of reaching their max growth potential in their opinions, and then try to put in other stocks that I think have more room.
Other stocks. Well, then maybe we'll talk about when we come back from the break. S&P 500. Are they going to include Tesla? Why didn't they? Are they going to? How does that work? Tim Pachos explaining it to us what the future is going to be here directly.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
We don't need no stinking roads. Okay, what's coming up is the presidential debates. Let me give you some of the dates and so on, because Tim Pachos has an opportunity to do with a lot of the influencers and tinfoil hat with Sam Tripoli and all that kind of stuff. But he may do that and come over to us, or back and forth, or neither or both or whatever. But Dr. Frank and I, we want to, I'd like to get in on that. I think Bob Anderson would be, fun to talk with. Maybe Jay, all of us, whoever wants to come in, we'll just do a thing live with the debates. See, I don't know how much we want to, break in or whatever, or just comment after, or throw popcorn at the screen or something. But that's what we've always done at the Hancock home. Donna would have a big plates of something. We're doing Philly cheesesteaks or, different casserole, whatever the heck. We'd have something to eat, and we have a party. And we're just sitting there, that half of us, kind of sort of almost paying attention. A lot of times it just get boring. But, Trump at least wasn't boring. Now, the first presidential debate is Tuesday, September 29th. So that is this next Tuesday, right? let's see, Wednesday, okay. Yeah, so this next Tuesday is September 29th, the first presidential debate. Well, that means we're going to be up at Derek's. So, yeah, we got, you know, good internet connection. And Derek get to play. We can do it down at his bar. That'd be awesome. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to do the first presidential debate Tuesday, September 29th, and Wednesday, October 7th, which is, I guess, like a week later, is the vice presidential debate. Now, that's going to be interesting. They have Pence and Kamala. I can't even formulate possibilities on that. What do you think these debates are going to tell us and how they're going to go? What do you think, Tim?
Well, I mean, everyone already has their minds, you know, made up before they go into a debate. And I don't know. Did you happen to see that one thing where it showed someone had a lawn decoration, but they had a toilet?
Yeah.
You can't do that
because people will think it's a real ballot box.
Like, you know, if anyone thinks that's a real ballot box, do you, like, do you
that
really
was their reasoning?
And why is there? Yeah, and why is there like this push to get people to vote last second? I mean, we all know why, but. You know, like, yeah, like, I really want people who don't pay attention to anything and are looking at, you know, Cardi B interviews to go, you know, go vote in this. And actually, I did just find the 2016 sponsors of the Commission on Presidential Debates. It is literally brought the number one sponsors, Anheuser-Busch, then AARP, the Howard G. Buffett Foundation. So that's, you know, Warren Buffett's, I think, one of his children. The Judy and Peter Bloom Kobler Foundation, the National Governors Association, and Phillips were the 2016. I saw something saying Anheuser-Busch is back again. And they're not even an American company. It's actually a Brazilian company. So why the hell is, you know, Brazilian company, one of Warren Buffett's kids, this other foundation that goes to support Jewish causes, and Phillips, which, you know, Phillips I don't think is an American company either. You know, why are these people the ones who get the
because they love America, dummy?
Well, we know why. It's because it gets into the whole you know, story with, you know, League of Women Voters and all that other stuff. But in terms of the debate, I don't know. I feel like it's like Mike Tyson getting into the ring with, you know, one of these guys that are going to last like 3 seconds. You know, watching Trump and
I am so shocked they're even doing it. This has got to be so staged and managed one. It's going to be I would pay per view this. You know, just, I mean, like Mike Tyson, I want to see that. See, if it was a choice between Trump and Biden and Mike Tyson, it'd probably lean towards the Tyson thing, and, you know, read about the other later. But, you know, I'm just going, wow, this is going to be entertainment. But I want to bring this up before we run out of time in this segment. Former New York Mayor Mike Bloomberg, who has committed at least $100 million in Florida towards electing Joe Biden, has raised another $16 million to pay the court fines and fees of nearly 32,000 black and Hispanic felons so they can vote in November election. He just says, here's $16 million, pay off all their crap so that they can still. That's another thing to me. Court fines and fees pay off to be able to vote. That's a whole nother. Yeah. Are you kidding me right there? I'm just that they do
well,
that.
Speaking of Florida felons, Kingsley Edwards, happy birthday, Kingsley. His dad is getting a hearing today to be
really?
Potentially released today.
Very cool. Well,
so
good luck on that.
They were supposed to do it, I believe, in April, but then because of coronavirus or March, and you know, they couldn't figure out how to do a Zoom meeting. So here it is, and he's been in jail for and now it's 27 years. At the time, it was 26, and you know, they couldn't figure out a Zoom meeting back then in Florida. But anyways, yeah. So send some positive vibes Kingsley's father's way, and I believe, yeah, there's different, you know, change.org.
Yeah, he was jailed for part of the drug war of cocaine, of something, I don't know, whatever. You know, probably now it's, I don't even know if it's even illegal what he was doing. But it's, yeah, it was one of those, he's victim of the drug war, and Kingsley grew up without his dad. So it's,
yeah, I mean, yeah, I know it's a sad story. Yeah, it's a sad, I mean, the quick version is his dad was set up by his dad's ex-girlfriend, who was an informant. And he got caught selling, I think, like $850 of coke to his ex-girlfriend. he was an informant, ratted him out. Then they gave him like 2 30-year sentences, so 60 years. And then she felt so bad about it, she committed suicide right after. So it took a pretty big, sad story. But, you know, getting back to, Florida felons, I mean, if you even take it back to, the Bush election, you know, part of how he won Florida is that they threw out all the votes of the felons that were voting. The company that they were using at the time to do that was called Choice Point, and my father-in-law was the one who set up, who was the one setting up all the Choice Point branches. And I know that he hated Bush with a passion. And I think he was second in command there, and I know that he. Now he's never told me any of this, there was some other investigative reporters, like Greg Pallas was the one doing an investigation on this, and I heard Greg Pallas bring this up, and I'm like, oh, that was my father-in-law's company. Like, he was the guy that was, like, the one setting these up, like, all around the world. And it was using that company that threw out a lot of the black people's votes in 2000, a lot of the felons, that then paved the way for George W. Bush to win that one. Not that, you know, two different crime families, you know, running, you know, whether it was Al Gore, who then went on to create a hedge fund with his partner Blood. So then it was literally a Blood and Gore hedge fund, not even making that up. not even making this up. I forgot where we're going with this. But, yeah, I mean, it seems like it's an obvious, influence of the election if you've got somebody who's saying, that, hey, I'm going to, pay off like a $1,000 fine for you. I mean, how are they allowed to do that? And you've got all the actual
Well, it's still not certain. I guess it's net more for the Democrats, but it's still not certain that you pay off my crap that I'm going to vote for that I even go vote. Or they just, walk them the early balloting they got on them. They kind of, sign here, next. I mean, this is just craziness. And it's any and everything. And it seems like is it to really change the balance of the voting? Or is it just to give the impression and excuse of this is how it happened? We just worked harder at the corruption at it, and we stole it fair and square. And just to give the impression that they won. And that's why I don't care.
Well, they need to do everything and anything they can to defeat Trump. And they didn't need to, in their minds, they didn't need to do all this stuff in 2016 because we were told, Hillary has, only like a 2% chance of losing. It's in the bag. You have to be an idiot to think Trump is going to win. My grandfather staged an intervention with me in October of 2016, basically telling everyone how, he's like, Tim, you're a smart guy, but you're telling everybody that you think Trump has a decent shot. And I didn't say it was in the bag, but like, he does have a pretty good shot at winning. And, people are, it's at least a coin flip on this. And he's like, he sounds like an idiot for saying that. And, he's got absolutely no chance. And so if you're part of the deep state, you're part of the, CIA, FBI, and you're,
Bar Tempichos, the Liberty Advisor, LibertyAdvisor.com. We come back in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And Tim Pachote. One thing, the first time we had Tim on years ago, it was during election cycle. So it might have been 16. Yeah, I think it might have been. And
it was
Bev Harris from Black Box Voting and John Brakey from Audit AZ, which is an election fraud thing. We just had him on last week or so, and he's doing some focus there in Maricopa County. And we're talking about, things that were going on then. Well, we'll get Tim the contact information for these guys because this is a timely subject now for your show and talking to him. And it reminds me to get Bev Harris on again and see what's up. But I'm so past it. It is so messed up. It's just the only thing that really matters is just general public opinion. So I'm out working on that. Now we're just, supporting activists I think we'll decline. And that's where it's going to come. It's going to be passive resistance. It's going to be that Gandhi thing, Martin Luther King Jr. thing. It's just, I'm not fighting you. I'm just not complying. You're going to have it. Yeah, I'm just not complying. So that massive noncompliance is really, I think, the best way of doing this. And in fact, it's what always has worked. It's just that's why they're beating you over the head, All right. So, and we need to get in Ruth Bader Ginsburg thing, too, and how that's affect everything. What do you want to talk about in this last segment there, Tim?
Yeah, well, let's finish off the goodies for that I was leaving off on. So in 2016, everyone thought Hillary had it in the bag. And so a central thesis of mine that I even brought up at the very end of my Anarcho-Poco talk was that, listen, in 2016, if you thought Hillary had it in the bag and you worked for the deep state, are you going to risk a felony, you know, trying to commit, you know, basic retail voter fraud and encouraging people to vote multiple times and different mail-in voter fraud? Are you going to, you know, be as, you know, forthright in trying to, you know, hack the election, you know, actual, you know, boxes? I know, like, I think the Department of Homeland Insecurity was trying to hack the ones in Georgia, I remember. And then, you know, so all, and then you got the fraction magic that's going on. But all this stuff, if, like, these are major, you know, crimes and felonies to, you know, engage in this stuff. And if you think Hillary has it in the bag, are you going to be, you know, as, you know, willing to, I mean, obviously, you know, still a lot of fraud was going on, but you're not going to be as motivated to commit this fraud if you think somebody has it in the bag. Like, why are you going to risk going to jail for 10 years if, you know, the person has a 98% chance, or in liberals' minds, there was no chance? Just ask Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who thought she was going to be, you know, stepping down underneath, you know, the first woman president. Instead, she gets to have Trump pick her. Pick a replacement. Not that it's like her seat or anything. And so that was a central, you know, tenet of mine, was that, you know, in 2020, now that he's in his second term and he would be unconstrained by trying to have to run again. Not that I, you know, but I'm not holding out hope in any of these guys. And I thought he should have had the pedal down to the metal and not played ball and not played nice with any of these guys to begin with. That's a whole nother topic. And now with, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg passing away, obviously stuff's, you know, been cranked up to an 11 here. I think he absolutely should pick, and the problem is, you know, half the conservatives that are up there on the Supreme Court aren't even that conservative. Like, you got guys like John Roberts, for Christ's sake.
Which is,
up there,
I think he's, you know, compromised. There's a lot of evidence way, and over the years, I remember his confirmation and the promise of and what side he's going to be on, all that kind of stuff, like, Obamacare was a big one. Man, he definitely did handsprings in that opinion. There was some mental gymnastics going on big time. I'm like, what the
heck? And you got all the inside baseball with, like, Trent Franks, you know, changing his vote on Medicare that then led to then getting John Roberts in, and all the background story of all that stuff. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm not really super – and even Kavanaugh is not, in my mind, some great guy that's up there. I mean, he was – you know, advocated for the Patriot Act, I think helped write some of the Patriot Act. And so then all the focus became on, you know, what he was doing in high school, which, you know, I highly, you know, doubt any of those stories. And this audience all knows about, you know, Blasey Ford and how she was connected to the CIA and how her dad was running some banking thing for the CIA and how her brother was tied into that as well. And, you know, he couldn't, and she was running some, like, Stanford, you know, CIA recruitment thing. And now she was supposedly raped by him, which, you know, I don't think anyone actually believes that. But, you know, actually, there's quite a few people that believe that, and that just shows you where we are at with a country. But I don't know. I'm just sort of, at this point, looking forward to the day that America gets broken up or something at this point, because I think it's really beyond repair, and that there's, you know, and I'm sort of like you, where I don't want to fight these guys. I just want to outlast them, which is why I've been, you know, every day looking at different, like, RVs and RV.
Well, how's that going? Let's talk about that for a minute. You know, this is a big deal. I was, Luke Radowski and I were going over, I got a walk and talk kind of video thing that I really like, the one that he has, and I've had it for a while. I just haven't opened the box because you got to, like, do stuff. So last night we were going over it, and kind of once we get the bus back and we get stabilized and how we're going to be doing all the shows and everything, we're going to, you know, get a lot of information and regular things, segments throughout the day, and we're going to be all funky. But his RV is a double pop-out with a high ceiling that's a fifth wheel, and that thing is huge. I mean, it's not super big or long, but the way it's set up, it's just bigger than his apartment, you know, in New York. He's like, shoot, man, this is awesome. He's just looking for places to go. Biggest thing is just internet. You know, he's got, you know, some solar, and he's got another generator coming up. But it's always going to be communication. So what are you looking at? Do you know what Luke's got? Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen what what Luke has, and I'd be interested to see how he likes that versus what was he in a kind of like the was Taron Lupo sort of
yeah,
like
it was
a,
just a,
like
that a, RV, the fifth wheel because you can unhook it and he's got this big Dodge Ram 2500, you know, like my son's diesel pickup truck of oh ha 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 no crap he has in his RV got two of them. In the RV and on his hitch bumper, these two big, you know, hanging titanium testicle scrotum bag thing.
Your son or Luke?
Luke.
Yeah. I thought he had a, I don't know, sure, does he have a hanging mask off one of his testicles too?
He's got the they're silver testicles hanging on the truck bumper, and he is proud of them too,
truck,
man.
Truck nuts.
Truck nuts.
Yeah.
No, he got a pickup truck. He's just going to do it. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've been waffling back and forth. It's, yeah, that was the same vehicle I was looking at, too, the Ram 2500. But it's, I've been waffling back and forth between, you know, doing that versus, you know, doing, because, I mean, I've also got the consideration of having the girls, too, and they really like the idea of having, like, a bunk bed type setup. And so I've been talking with them, too. I mean, they're younger, so. You know, I got some different considerations, and then trying to set something up with
the fifth wheel thing for
around.
If I had to do this all over, and I had like all the money in the world, and kind of whatever, I like the bus because it's classic. I mean, it's the bus for what I wanted to do, and I like it, and it's a big freaking tank of whatever. But if I did a diesel pickup and got a nice fifth wheel like he's, that's a pretty good rig that I would be. And that's kind of what you were talking about. And I'm digging it. You know, it'd be a good thing to do. How would you use it? What are you, you know, just as a bug out or to be able to travel to different things, to be able to travel? I mean, what?
Yeah, that's the important thing is as I'm trying to narrow it down is trying to define how I'd use it. But, you know, certainly, you know, June, July, August, and probably, you know, some of September, I'd hope to not be in Phoenix very much, so maybe, you know, going up and visiting family in the Northeast. Also, you know, I'm definitely not going to be taking the vaccine, so you know, who knows if I'll even be allowed to fly anymore. So, you know, that was a great timing getting my, you know, TSA pre-check February 19th, or it becomes useless for me. But, yeah, I mean, visiting families and, you know, going up to Pork Fest and then over to, you know, Jackalope Festival and, you know, for a lot of August, you know, being up there and then, you know, probably going to, you know, a few different events here or there during the off, you know, when it's, you know.
Cause it gives you a lot of options. Before we run out of time, what do people need to, you know, pay attention to on the stock market election? I mean, send them off with some actionable information of what they need to look for and go to. You know, thelibertyadvisor.com. I mean, give me, tell them something.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been, you know, breaking down a lot with John Snyson and Josh Sigerson doing, you know, been a lot more active recently. So you guys can, you know, check out, you know, the podcast and subscribe and appreciate that. I would definitely, you know, recommend you guys check out the Guillermo Griffin interview because hit him with a lot of hard questions, which I hated doing, but hit him with a lot of the more difficult questions right up front about, you know, QAnon and Trump and all this other stuff. So, you know, I highly recommend checking that out, especially on my library page. And, I think that, I honestly think that Biden is somehow going to remain victorious, even though he's going to get his, you know, what kicked during this debate. But, you know, I think it's already going to be rigged, and all they really need to do is rig a few different counties and a few different states. And that's, you know, and if they can, they are. If they can, they will. They definitely can do it, so they are going to do it. And, you know, the system's going to go from broke, try to make sure Trump gets out of there. They're going to pull every, I can't even imagine the different October surprises that are going to be going on.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most.
We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Dr. Judy Mikovits, you know, she's out, travails across the planet and got stories to tell. Well, she can't go flying around out. She was on the show here a couple weeks ago. She was saying, they have these masks that are see-through plastic. You can still see people's expressions. It goes across the front. It goes, they're called Baker's masks or something. She goes, those are cool. They don't restrict airflow. They stop... any spray of, I vote that. And then I put on kind of another mesh thing I can breathe through under that, over that, we got that, and then I'm going on the plane. And then you're on the plane. Which airline? What happened, Dr. Judy?
I'm on the plane, United Airlines, flight 1925 from Chicago to LAX. I did just fine from Florida. I flew from Fort Myers, Florida to Chicago. I'm sitting next to a military veteran with a similar issue, trying to wear a safer mask. She had PTSD and she had restricted blood flow and oxygen. She could hardly walk on the plane. So we had a great time between on the flight between Fort Myers and Chicago. So I get on the flight in Chicago, and I had the mask on that we described, where I covered with a colloidal silver mesh. I covered the plastic mask and was wearing it and eating and drinking. I was actually drinking a nice vitamin mixture, a good vitamin water with minerals to stay well, because, after a long road trip through a couple of hurricanes and a lot of talking, I had a pretty good case of my pleurisy and my cough, which would have upset the whole plane. At any rate, the stewardess continually tapped me and told me to completely cover my mouth and nose, that this mesh mask and this over this plastic mask was not acceptable to them. And she handed me one of the blue surgical Teflon toxic PTFE and PFOE containing masks and said, you have to wear the appropriate mask. You have to put it on now. I said, no, thank you. I'm eating and drinking. This was supplied by my doctors. She said, well, finish eating and drinking and put the mask on, and then she came back 15 minutes later and she did the same thing, tapped me. And I had this little, the lady on the plane, her name was Deanne, on the plane from Florida, gave me a whole bag of little miniature Snickers bars. So I'm literally licking them like lollipops. And the stewardess is getting angrier and angrier. And so she stands there and she says, finish your food. And I'm like, no, thank you.
She's trying to just keep her job, or she was, pissed off you weren't, respecting her authority, or, there was a complaining passenger or what?
No, she was harassing me. In fact, at one point, on the third or fourth time, she went up and she came back with a piece of paper, tapped me and threw a piece of paper in my face and said, take it. And I said, please don't touch me. You have no authority to touch me, and I'm not taking the piece of paper. And she's
like, what was the paper?
It's like, this is an official notice that you're breaking my American airline policy. You accept that you're not abiding by the rules and you sign, because in order to get even a boarding pass, you had to sign that you would obey the rules. So you know me, Ernie. I'm a scientist. This is United Airlines. I carefully read all the rules. I fashioned the mask the night before, knowing the shield of glory wasn't going to work for them. So I read all the rules and I obeyed every single one of the rules. And I told her, I said, I've obeyed every single one of the rules. I'm perfectly well safe in the appropriate mask for my medical condition. It was applied by a doctor, and she said, Ms. Mike, I said, I am Dr. Mikovits, and you are not. And this is a medical device, and you cannot, it is not FDA approved. The surgical masks are toxic. I said it as loud as I can. They contain toxic fluoride and organoacetate compounds, and you're killing everyone on the plane, and you have no right to tell me what kind of mask I can wear. Nobody's at risk. And so she told Mr. whoever was next to me, she got his name, and she said, since this passenger has put you at risk, we can get you another seat and upgrade. And he's like, no, I'm fine. No, she's not doing anything. He just sat there the whole time watching a movie. She's not bothering me. I was listening to a book on tape, literally on the seat next to me towards the window. I didn't even look up. I was doing everything I could to be appropriate and polite and respectful. And so then a couple of minutes later, she goes away. And I keep eating my Snickers. Thanks, Deanne, if you're listening.
So this is like a theater for the plane. They're all paying attention to this. Did you get any Karen's chanting, shooter or anything?
No, but the pilot came on. The pilot came out and said, apparently, of 289 people on this plane, one puts all of us at risk. And can't figure out how to wear a mask or something like that. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Well, and unfortunately, well, it actually put me at risk. And unfortunately, we're going to have to detain the passengers on this plane, when we get to the gate. And this was about an hour before we landed. So I did send everything to Larry Klayman, and I'm going to check my email this morning and actually call him. I text him getting off the plane. I did not let them detain me. I had one backpack and I can move. And I walked, my seat I carefully picked in that exit row, which is when you have a 757, you walk in at row 8 and 1 through 6 is first class to the left. So you're walking right into row 8. And that's the seat I was sitting in. So I literally, the agent got on the plane with her little piece of paper, and I walked right by her as, literally kept going up the gate. Ms. Mikovits, Dr. Mikovits, they targeted me. I had been given in our Florida conference, which was wonderful, by the way, a packed church of hundreds of people in Holiday, Florida, with Nurse Erin. Talking about the mask, talking about the dangers of the mask and the vaccines, and
thing that you intimated to us that we checked up on, there was a bunch of these masks that were ordered by or the governor Newsom or whatever of California, and these particular masks that they order are illegal in California. They're in violation of some coding or something they have. What, tell us about that.
It's those blue surgical masks, and airlines are given, these CDC approved cleaners and these blue surgical masks, and they're sprayed with Teflon. They're sprayed with it's a acetic acid or organoacetic acid, and PTFE, with the F in that is fluoride. So I had just come from the IAOMT, which is International Association of Oral Medicine and Toxicology. So toxic fluoride in the water, toxic fluoride in Teflon, in these organophosphates. So this is this Teflon and these PFOEs, they're called, are actually against Prop 65 in California. So when you get on a plane, when you go to Starbucks, it says you can get some of these if you drink a lot of this coffee. And they have to put a warning out. And yet these airlines and these people and Governor Newsom himself, against California law, has mandated.
Get their own laws. We'll be right back. Dr. Judy Mikovits.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And Dr. Judy Mikovits. Now, Dr. Judy, she was on a plane. She hadn't been on a plane for a lot of plane. I ain't flying on your plane. Bite me. I have no plane. Well, she went to a conference in Florida. She's on Fort Myers or whatever. She's going back to L.A., she gets to Chicago, and then going to L.A. Now, pleurisy, we've talked about this before. Whenever we have Dr. Judy on, she coughs because she has an identical twin that They, when they were born, they had it, extra fluid in the lungs that they have to keep getting this out. Okay, fine. You know, you freak everybody out. You know, we'll wear all your stuff that we need, but I can't put, certainly not toxic Teflon fluoride, blah, 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 you know, and I can't breathe. They'll cough more, you know, with your mask. So she accommodates by being a scientist. She knows what she needs to do to, you know, comply, and she did. But they don't like it. Especially because she didn't tell us in the last segment that she was wearing a pink Trump hat and, you know, a shirt that said what?
My shirt, I just texted you a picture of it. It says 1776 forever free. And I had a nice appropriate blazer, a black blazer. I was perfectly professional. But at the meeting with Nurse Aaron, you know, who caught them killing people in the hospital in Elmhurst, New York. That was my last stop, was with Nurse Aaron and the lovely people of Holiday, Florida. In fact, they came from all over the Tampa area and all over Florida. So we have a lot to talk about. But they had just been in a rally of women for Trump. So I had a pink hat on that they awarded me. That's my gift at the conference for speaking, and I wore it proudly, and I didn't think of it much. I did take off the big white button on my lapel that said I do not comply, so I really wasn't throwing it in her face. I was simply expressing myself.
They were throwing it in her face. You had a Trump hat on. You had the word Trump. Hell, you had a T somewhere. I mean, you know, come on. That explains a whole bunch of stuff, man. Damn.
So but did, she what, tar- She targeted me.
Well, what kind of reaction did you get? Because, you know, when you're in her discussions with her, she wasn't digging it. And you go, look, I am a doctor. Besides, I, you know, like, yeah, explain it to him, blah, 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 blah. So did you have people bringing up their cell phones and they're taking pictures, or some Karens yelling at you, get on the mask? They started chanting, wear the mask, or anything like that?
No, it was actually, the people were quite kind. In fact, when I had gotten on that plane, I was sitting like literally the exit row right in the door of the plane, which I chose very carefully for a quick escape. I knew once the plane got in the air, I was fine. I just had to figure out how to get off it with a 50-pound backpack, because people gave me so many wonderful gifts I carried home. But no, actually, the man, they got the name of the man sitting next to me, who looked also like a military veteran, strong young man, and they said, you know, Mr. So-and-so, if you'd like to be moved, you know, over to a safe seat away from this woman, you can. He's like, no, I'm all good. So I'm good. No, she's not bothering me. You know, and so
you're kind of annoying.
So nobody really did anything. And I'm, you know, thank God I wasn't in the back of the plane, because the pilot did announce it, you know, that there's somebody on the plane. He literally inciting physical violence against me. So I got out of that airport.
Oh, that's
fast.
Interesting. That's it. We have someone that needs to be beaten within an inch of their life. You know, that that's interesting that they would do that. I'm wondering how that, the way you're, what he thought he was accomplishing. That would be, I'd want discovery on just that. Is that policy that you go, hey, everybody, we got somebody, yeah, we need to have, like the old movie Airplane, when they're standing in line with, you know, chains and boxing gloves and stuff, wanting to slap that. if you guys remember that movie. Anyway, so this is interesting. What are you going to do? What's your reaction? Now they banned you. Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I got an email from United. Yeah, they tried to stop me at the gate and I kept moving, but I did say loud enough with the entire plane behind me, except for first class, the entire plane was behind me. I did say this is totally unlawful and illegal. The masking policies are toxic. The masks you're giving them are against Prop 65. And by now we're in L.A. You know, Newsom knowingly bought masks from the Chinese to kill the rest of the Americans. They didn't kill with the virus. I just kept talking all the way out the airport and got to the curb, and Dr. Lori was there right there to pick me up and get me out of there. But you know, it was, I did, while I was on that plane, when it landed, I text my lawyer Larry Klayman, who has the lawsuit, you know, for the masking of me and others, the civil the class action civil case we have against Fauci and against everyone in the world, as a matter of fact, for the virus, for the mask, for the policies that have destroyed us. And so I text Larry and said, you know, and this is illegal. Add this to the lawsuit, file harassment, whatever you have to do. I mean, I paid for a first class ticket, and I want my money back. And I want to be flown first class when I need to go places. I'm not going to stop going. I was on a 2-week health freedom tour, and I literally drove through Hurricane Sally from Nashville to a stop in Atlanta, to a stop in Orlando, teaching doctors, teaching nurses at the toxicology meeting, teaching dentists, doctors, healthcare professionals, and then in churches there in the Tampa area and in Atlanta, where we filled, I mean, hundreds of people came to learn the truth, to learn the, mostly the mask book, but also the toxins in the vaccines. I presented 2 talks at the IAOMT, and I'll make sure you get them so everybody can see.
Please.
And, you know, and this is the whole point. People are waking up. This is censorship. This is, you know, that there's nothing about what that pilot and that stewardess did that had anything to do with the safety of that plane. That was targeting, that was, you know, that was intended to be some kind of spectacle. You know.
Well, this went on for what, hours?
Oh, at least an hour in the flight. So the flight was about 4 hours from Chicago to L.A. Could have been a little less, 3:30 or so. And she started bugging me. So they don't give you a cart. They don't have a cart and a food cart. You can't buy food. I mean, what does this have to do with a virus? Nothing. You know, nothing. They give you a little bottle of water. They throw a little plastic bag with a real toxic alcohol wipe. I mean, that wipe was so bad you would cough if you opened that packet and wiped your hands with it. I still have one of those too that will get analyzed for how toxic it is. But at any rate, you know, from at least an hour into the flight when she decided that I'd drunk all my water, you know, thank God for my friend Leah at the Max Living Chiropractors meeting. She gave me a non-see-through steel can that said, you know, health freedom on the side. Yes, and I left the label showing so everybody could see what I was drinking, but I had filled it up with nutrient mixes, and I could easily sip and eat that chocolate.
More with
for
Dr.
The
Judy Mike
life.
Fitz, and we come back. She's I don't think she's going to be able to fly on United anymore. We're going to find out. Maybe.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And Dr. Judy Mikovits, there's a lot more little details, hours in a flight on a United, and she's not going. They brought Securita or ticket people. They're going to give her an ordinance of explain it to her, and she's like, and gone. She goes up towards the front, and she just kept going, and they go, there's a little old lady there, kind of, you know, wearing a Trump hat. We just kind of didn't know it was, and she's gone already. Damn it. We missed her by that much. So I'm wondering, you know, we need to get these body cams on everybody. Derek J., a friend of mine, has this one that he just wears it all the time. Anytime he's out, it's just running. He'll just loop it, and he'll start over on the card of whatever, you know, just in case something happens, which has happened. He has a Derek J. Victimless Crime Spree is a movie you hear advertised here. It was him coming from Philadelphia to New Hampshire to see if he could be left alone. You know, I just wanted to know how much leave me alone just sitting here not being bothered. Not so much, especially if you challenge anything like Dr. Judy has. Now, there was a nurse. I watched this entire thing. It was probably hour and a half. It was a while of a Florida nurse that went to New York to help with the because they were like, oh, we're all pandemic. And in Florida, they're sitting around watching each other's fingernails grow. So they didn't have anything to do. So she went, and you can get paid bank. You go to New York to help with people. And their goal was to get everybody on a ventilator. But once you got on a ventilator, You never got off. You were dead. And one person that was a drug addict that was not as susceptible to it was able to, you know, the relaxants or whatever to keep you comatose so you can be on a ventilator, I guess. You make them comfortable. Whenever they say comfortable, that means they're killing you. So he's laying there, and he gets up, and I guess they call it excubate or whatever. He pulls it out himself. And he's like, oh, you guys saved my life. I'm, you know, in COVID or whatever. And she's crying going, he has no idea he saved his own life. If it wasn't for him pulling that out, he'd be dead. And this is, she came out with this whole thing. And that nurse was from originally Florida that was speaking with Dr. Judy down at the thing. Have I kind of summed that up pretty good?
Yeah, exactly. So I just sent Donna, I text Donna a picture of Nurse Erin, and I'll just call her Erin O. Her last name starts with an O. And this is the event in the church we had in Florida, and you can't quite see because it's black and white, but that was the women for Trump hat. And I show you the masks that I wore and how I fashioned the mask to be safe. So I was not avoiding the law. So yes, that's Nurse Erin. And she does live in Florida near Tampa. And so she wrote a book about her experience. And I believe Skyhorse published it as well. And I have it here. And so we were doing book signings.
What was the name of the book?
Something about the nurse. I'm looking for it right now. So when we do the next commercial, I'll look on the bookshelf and see if I can find it.
Definitely get her contact information to Donna. Get her on. I was fascinated with her story.
Oh, absolutely. So I'll let her tell you. I'll text you her information right now. So absolutely. So we had the meeting. It was from 3 o'clock to about 6 o'clock in Florida. And there were four of us on the panel. So you will want to hear from these other panelists. One, a constitutionalist named Yvette Brox. And so I'll text the information. And a Dr. Rawl was also on the panel, leading the panel. And I gave my math. Talk and, you know, a combination of the mask and the vaccine talk to warn, you know, the people, because Florida, you know, it's coming. And so about the education in the schools and how they're going to, you know, the kinds of horrible sex education they're teaching in the schools, and just an amazing panel that Nurse Erin put together there in Florida. So we talked to, the church was packed. My brother picked me up, who lived a couple hours from there, but I hadn't seen my niece and nephew in maybe 15 or 20 years because I hadn't been able to get to that part of Florida. So my brother came to pick me up, and he had to park a quarter mile to the street, down the street. And he's like, whoa, what's going on here? So we had that church just packed of people coming.
And there's video that you can get us. There's somebody recorded, put up somewhere or something.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So of all the meetings, yeah, we did two seatings outside of Atlanta in Cartersville. Again, finding an avenue on a lake, you know, where we could gather hundreds, and we gathered hundreds. So I think we did a 5 o'clock and an 8 o'clock and gave the same kind of health freedom. So literally what I did from the 7th of September until I got home later in the evening of the 20th after that horrific United flight, was a health freedom tour to talk about everything we talk about usually on your show, so that more and more people can.
You know,
can
what, before we run out of time on this segment, when we come back in the last segment, you know, talk about this CDC insider William Cruz, you know, hammering on Fauci. Okay, are you familiar with this?
No, but you can start enlightening.
Okay. I'll tell you in the break. We'll talk about it when we come back. But I wanted to ask you, these events that you're going to, and a lot of stuff, I'm in rural America. I'm not going to the bigger cities. I'm making the intention of going to these small communities and counties that are, you know, using the draconian, tyrannical arm of going after the homeschool woman that takes her kids to the park of, I want to not mask them, or bite me. And this is where I think I can have the most, you know, just kind of change the general public opinion. We have some signs, campaign, we go and speak at different things. You got a lot of what you're doing, but I'm going, and I tell you, out here, it seems to me that Trump signs Trump, flags Trump, 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 except in Vermont. Okay, Vermont, it was all Black Lives Matter and defend the police, which might as well have been, you know, Biden, Trump. But, I mean, you know, they didn't have either one up. I haven't seen hardly any Biden signs at all. I can count them on two hands, been, you know, through like eight states. And I'm going, what's your sense of what's happening? And when you have a stewardess that's just kind of just beating on you, got the Trump. I mean, was the plane kind of, you know, just didn't want to get involved? They a little bit more on your side? You felt more kind of a conservative vibe? Or what are you feeling as you're traveling around?
I felt, well, as I drove, I drove from Nashville to Orlando to Tampa by myself, like in through a hurricane. It was fun. But at any rate, yes, just like you said, it's all Trump signs and interestingly enough, a lot of biblical signs, a lot of Ten Commandments, a lot of,
you in the South. You in the South.
Yeah, one nation under God, that sort of thing. But yes, and all of our meetings were after Nashville were outside of the big cities. So inside Nashville, you know, they've even got masks on the statues at Vanderbilt University, which was awful. I mean, this is just not America. Just like the cover of our book, everybody was saying, you know, we've got a mask on the Statue of Liberty that Ben Garrison drew, you know, looking in horror. You know, in horror, as she well
should. And one of our signs is, Liberty Wears No Mask.
Right.
You know, and it has a stencil of the Statue of Liberty. Liberty Wears No Mask. Boom.
Right.
Love Bus Liberty Tour. Bam, 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 bam. You know, I'm with
right.
You know, William Cruz from the CDC, does that name ring a bell at all?
It does not.
Okay, this is going to be interesting. No. We're going going in the break here in about 30 seconds. I'll give you kind of that.
I'll look it up as well.
Yeah. William Cruz ripped Anthony Fauci and the CDC. Well, they say the heroic CDC insider, William Cruz. I mean, you know what I mean? So they're really, you know, where
yeah,
they're going on that one.
He gets to be a hero after he sat there for 20 years watching this while millions of Americans
yeah,
are
see,
into-
this is the one thing that we keep bringing up. Dr. Judy is like a lot of these guys, they come out, oh, I need a clean conscience after they, you know, damaged a million people. You know, now they're coming out, you know?
Yeah.
They want to get, I don't know, they want to be at least in the back row of heaven or something. You know, I can see. Oh, all right. More. Dr. Judy Mikovits when we come back in just a little bit. Hold on right there.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Hey, Dr. Judy Mikovits. It's our Wednesday checkup and seeing what's up with the doctor, which is now doing a lot of traveling, driving around. Kind of, man, it's getting to be, you know, she's uphill battle for years. We've talked to Judy on a regular basis. And I knew when this started hitting and Plandemic came out, God, and her second book and the third book and the book of God, man, here we go. Here we go. Now, one of the things is I saw we had a story up that Kent Heckenlively, your co-author on your books, is doing an Australia tour. He was banned from going to Australia. I guess that's up. And you guys were talking to Michelle Malkin, which is a, I guess, conservative babe on Fox at times. I've seen her around before or whatever. And she's going to go with Kent on this tour in Australia. Tell me about that.
Well, we had a nice radio interview with Michelle Malkin about our book, The Case Against the Mass, on Saturday there. And during the end of the interview, Kent mentioned that the ban that Australia put on him 3 years ago when we were writing the book and he egged him on a little bit was up, that the 3 years was over. And he simply said, hey, Michelle, you want to go on tour with me and we can interview in Australia? And so I guess that's what's up with that. They're going to take it to Australia where they need absolutely.
Probably not. Let me see. Where's my bet? You know, there's some bookie here. I can do that. We'll see. You know, we'll see. Okay, this is it. Here's the story. The heroic CDC insider, William Cruz, ripped Anthony Fauci and the CDC, a public affairs specialist at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, will retire after revelations that he used a pseudonym online to savage the government response to the COVID-19 pandemic, including the work of Anthony Fauci, who heads that agency, NIAID. What's NIAID stands for? The National Institute of
Allergy and Infectious Disease. That's Tony Fauci's division.
Got it.
Allergy and Infectious Disease,
which he's the head guy of whatever. Reports to the Washington Post. William Cruz told NIAID officials he will retire after the Daily Beast revealed he is also the managing editor of the conservative website redstate.com, where under the pseudonym Streff, he has ridiculed the government's activity against a coronavirus outbreak, according to NIAID spokeswoman. Under the pseudonym, Cruz wrote that Anthony Fauci was a mass Nazi and described him as the attention-grubbing and media-whoring Anthony Fauci. I think we're at the point where it is safe to say that the entire Wuhan virus scare was nothing more or less than a massive fraud perpetrated upon the American people by experts, quotes, who were determined to fundamentally change the way the country lives and is organized and governed. Cruz wrote in a June post on Red State, "This whole thing has been a total fraud insofar as the policy response to Wuhan virus. From day one," he wrote in June, "there has never been a need for a lockdown. There has never been need for wearing masks. When the smoke clears on this Wuhan virus tragedy, and I mean the tragedy of working men and women of this nation who have seen their livelihoods and life's work and sometimes their actual lives destroyed by the unreasoning panic inflicted upon us by the public health Nazis. One thing will become blindingly obvious. The nation and the Trump administration were failed at every turn by the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Dr. Anthony Fauci," Cruz under a pseudonym wrote in July. Hey, one more. "A government that can force you to wear a purely symbolic face mask in a prescribed manner can make you wear a yellow Magen David and get on the boxcar," wrote in July. Is this everything you've been saying since run? You got an insider at the CDC goes, "Yeah, I did it." I'm
right.
The redstate.com guy. All right. Well, somebody else doesn't like Fauci too. You feel better?
Well, no, because it's not about liking Fauci. It's about the fact that this man is absolutely criminal. They've known from the beginning what they're doing, and the as I usually say, the band plays on. You know, the doesn't matter what the data say. Doesn't matter what the legal experts say. It doesn't matter what the scientific experts like Professor Cahill, the evolutionary virologist who showed that the virus was gone from this country in March and probably arrived a lot sooner. As we all know, you know, the yes mask, no mask, now mask, this mask. You know, the minute we filed that lawsuit with Larry Klayman, FreedomWatchUSA.org, June 23rd, all of a sudden Newsom says, okay, beaches are closed, 4th of July. You know, the virus has been gone a long time ago. The virus never was a single virus that went around the world like they said. I hope your audience still watches freedomplatform.tv, because last week Brian Rose on freedomplatform.tv had a very long, a couple hour interview with Dr. David Martin, the star of Plandemic, really, in Dr. Nation. He's the one that blew it all apart with the numbers. He said, "We've been looking at this since 2003. Moderna had literally filed a patent in 2003, and in the first line of it says, we expect a release of these coronaviruses. Wait a minute, in 2003? Oh, that's right after That's right after Lipkin and Fauci and the CDC perpetrated the fraud that MMR doesn't cause autism, and that Verstraten paper, the subject of the movie, Vax. So wait a minute. So they've been doing this since 2003, 15 years before now, planning the whole thing, just as our books, carefully outline Plague of Corruption. You can see it. They've been planning it. Bobby Kennedy's forward, brilliant forward, the chicken pox vaccine, driving shingles, the Zika, the swine flu, the pig flu, bird flu, you name it, they've been doing it. And Fauci stood up against president after president. This isn't a political thing. This isn't a Trump thing. Trump did exactly the right thing. Shut down travel to China. Get the hydroxychloroquine, get the preventative measures here, stop the trade. Been trying to do that for a long time. And there's an underground government that insists on killing people. So this is
what this Cruz guy said. He goes, a government that can force you to wear a purely symbolic face mask in a prescribed manner can make you wear a yellow MAGA David and get on the boxcar. And he went on, just to finish it off, he goes, I have worked in the CDC and seen the politicization up close, he wrote in July. It is a hotbed of progressive activity. It also has more than its share of idiots, and 90% of the people who work there should be named Karen. They desperately want to manage your life. Boom, boom, boom. So this is everything we already knew anyway, but it's nice to have somebody inside, explaining it.
Right. And it's fabulous because, the insiders and that's kind of, I think, what we saw on that plane. Nobody was standing up on her side, on the stewardess, the Nazi stewardess's side, and that's why,
So nobody said anything negative or encouragement or nothing. They just sat there stone faced. Not me. I didn't do it. I'm Chinese guy on the train.
I think they had no idea what seat I was in. So everybody's looking around. And so that was the blessing of getting off the plane, essentially first. Nobody could figure out who it was. So when the plane stops, the gate agent's standing there looking stupid, and I'm long gone. And so,
did you get a email or a text or something saying, you are banned?
Yes. Yeah, I got a text saying, there was an incident, an email, saying there was an incident on the plane and United Airlines, and we're going to ban you for life, but we're going to give you a chance to tell your side of the story. So I forwarded that to my lawyer this morning. Yesterday when I got it, and I'm going to look for a response this morning because we're going to give you a chance to tell your side of the story. Well, my side of the story is going to be a lawsuit. Here comes. I'm not going to simply answer their little email.
I want discovery. Did you know you have illegal mask that you're having done in California, Atlantic California, where that mask, that's illegal. Did you know that? This is going to be awesome. This is going to be awesome. They have no idea what they came up with. They want to play. Let's play. All right. We're going to end of the show. This is where are you going this next week? They hear you over the music. Go.
I'm going to Vista, California, Temecula, California, and Ramona, California, all three churches, the 26th, 29th.